All right, Matt Shelf in the house. Welcome to the Big Ticket Life Show, where leaders share stories of healing, impact, and courageous leadership in their lives and in their businesses. You're going to get to learn a lot. You know, Big Ticket Life's brought to you by Chris Stone from Cast Ahead. All the amazing things for podcast production is because of his amazing talents. And we give you this immersive experience right here on social media live every Tuesday at noon on Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. That's where you get to watch live on Tuesday. So please like, subscribe, give us a follow so you get the show every week. And if you want to pick it up later, or maybe you're picking it up now on DBTV, where there's something for everybody, you can watch us on Roku sticks, Fire sticks, smart TVs, where the DBTV app is found. Please be sure to download it and get your dose of Big Ticket Life and other great shows there. Matt Shelp, welcome to the show and the Big Ticket Life. How are you today, sir?
I'm amazing. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here and spend this time with you.
Yeah, I am too, because we have we've got a commonality in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. You have a school and I was a student of the sport. And just excited to talk with you about that, about your school, about all the things you have going on in your business and businesses that you own and things that you do.
Yeah, I own some companies here in Northern Colorado. I've got a great experience and background in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and everything just kind of ties all together in this building, in this space that we get to do business and life in every day. And it's just been a really fun journey of getting here and then getting a chance to be here and pour into the community here in Northern Colorado.
Love it. What town exactly are you in?
We are in Loveland. So we're an hour north of Denver. We are known for all of the Valentine's Day mail comes through Loveland to get the little heart stamp every year.
Oh, wow. So there's like a whole big mail truck convoy that hits the town, I guess.
Totally is. Yeah, we're about 30 minutes south of Fort Collins, which is Colorado State University country and territory, and yep. We kind of make a triangle with Boulder down to the south and the west.
Very good. You by chance a Seinfeld fan at all?
No, I'm not. I have okay, not man. Followed
there's
Seinfeld.
There's a whole episode of Seinfeld where Newman and Kramer get to recycle aluminum cans and make more money because all the mail trucks go one way on Mother's Day. So I thought, Okay. Well, maybe the post office people on Valentine's Day have some scheme just like they had in Seinfeld. I digress. There's few people that enjoy Seinfeld humor as much as me. So let's dig into the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu aspect of things. I love the sport. I had to pause my journey of purple belt due to some injuries that just were nagging. And my intention is to get back on the mat once I get through all that. But tell folks that don't know about the sport what it's all about and why I see a lot of parallels, a lot of translation to life and business through the sport.
So many.
I'm gonna get into that.
So many. When I first stepped on the mats, it was 2007. I was 27 years old. My son was just born. I was an avid weightlifter, meathead, and I had just spent 3 years building a successful million-dollar company. So I was like tons of ego, tons of attitude. Could bench press, 350 pounds. And I started watching UFC and mixed martial arts. And I go, oh, I want to learn some MMA. And I walk into an MMA academy after a big weightlifting session at Gold's Gym. And I roll in thinking that I'm going to attend kickboxing class. I'm like, I'm going to go punch some guys in the face, right? And this is literally how I'm talking and behaving back then. And I walk in and the kickboxing class is over. I must have read the schedule wrong. And all these guys are starting to put some, pajamas on and tie their belts and go out and they're stretching and rolling around. I'm like, what is this? Kind of weird, right? Kind of weird looking from the outside.
If you're not prepared, it is, yes. Yeah.
And this little guy, his name's Noah, comes up and he squeezes my arm. He's like, oh, you've got big arms. You'll love this. It's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. You're big and strong. All you need to do, see that guy over there, that big guy? You're big and strong. Go grab him and put him on his back and just pin him down until he taps out. And I'm like, oh, okay. Sounds easy enough. I'm like, I want that guy. I want the big guy. And he's like, since this is your first class, he's like, sign this waiver that says, you get hurt, not our problem. So I signed the waiver.
Right.
Always make sure you've signed the waiver. And then I said, all right, I'm going to go for the big guy. They said, no, go over there with Timmy, right? So I'm 27, I'm 6 feet tall, 200 pounds, pure muscle. And they throw me with this little kid. He's got to be like 14, 15, 120 pounds. I'm like, Timmy? They're like, Timmy, just go with him. And then you're laughing because you know.
I know where it's going.
I know exactly where this is going. But it was a huge life, leadership, business, fatherhood, manhood lesson, like all rolled into one story. So Noah squeezes my arm. He's like, dude, take it easy on Timmy, whatever you do. And I go, okay. And I walk out. He goes, hold on, one more thing. If you get into a spot that you don't want to be, and maybe Timmy gets the best of you and you want him to stop, just tap out. I'm like, whatever, tapping. I'm not tapping. So we, you know, slap hands, bump knuckles, right? You know what's about to happen. And I charge after this little kid and he flips me up in the air. He grabs me by my shirt, puts his feet on my hips and literally airplanes me, 180s me, lands me on my back and he's on top of me. And I'm like,
comes over and full mountain.
Like what? I mean, it was like that. Effortless. He's on top of me. So he's sitting on top of me in the mount. We're looking eye to eye. And I'm like, yeah, he's 120 pounds. Like I can curl this kid, no problem benching him. So I just go and I bench press him. Right. And we're just looking at each other and he gets a big smile because you know what he's about to do. Right. He takes his palms, puts them right on my sternum, kind of pops up. I'm like, oh, he's going to get off of me. Like I just showed him what was up. He spins around my arm and like locks his whole body around my arm and like stretches it out. And then Noah's like, tap out, Matt, tap out. So I tap out, totally humiliated. You know, he got the best of me, right? So I come after him again. Instead of flipping me over, he turns me over, gets on top of me. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to give him my arms again. I'm not stupid. So I balled up and I'm like, I'll just roll to my stomach, right? Because I'm safe there. And I rolled to my stomach and now he's like a backpack, like a human backpack. On my back and he just slips in a rear choke, a rear naked choke and just humiliates me, man. So all of my effort, strength, energy, resources were totally used against me, right? And at face value, I'm bigger, I'm stronger. Maybe you're a new business owner. You've got no money, no experience, no contacts. It doesn't matter. Jiu-jitsu is all about being resourceful with what you have using leverage, timing, and technique to beat a bigger, stronger, faster opponent. How can a 150-pound woman completely immobilize and annihilate and submit and hurt if she needs to? Not saying that you do, but hurt a 200-pound man who's, you know, three times as strong as her. And it's just it was the beginning of a journey that's taught me so much about just patience and, we're talking about resilience on this episode, right?
Yeah.
Just being resilient when you're getting the crap kicked out of you every day, financially, whatever it is, just to be calm and say, you know what? I can just tap and reset and start over and then learn why I got into that position in the first place.
Yeah. And also, you know, as you were telling that story of hard charging forward, you know, I was the heavyweight guy at our school, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the jacked up wrestlers that wanted to come in, go forward, put you on your back right away, and conversely, be very resistant to being on their back. They always came my way.
Yeah.
Those guys came to me and my whole game was, you know, to paint this in a business conversation, paint this in a life conversation. My whole game was, I'll swim you out to, you know, in 7-minute matches, 8-minute matches, 6-minute matches, I think were Naga matches. I'll swim you out to that last minute. I will sacrifice points.
Yep.
But I had defined chokes I was going to get, or just straight out pressure tap I would get. And in that last minute, that last 30 seconds is when I would turn it on. So I was, you know, I think in times in life and business, right, you got to be okay to kind of let the chaos swirl around you, but have your plan. So maybe share a few times where you've had that chaos in life, but you knew the plan and you just kind of had to allow it happen.
It was last summer, Jeff. I mean, we're 20 years into our painting company. I founded it 2005, $100 in the bank, got fired from a mortgage job that I hated. And I'm like, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm going to go become a millionaire. And like, again, a lot of ego. And we build like a multi-million-dollar company in 5 years and building team, focusing on leadership. I mean, we're at a different point now, being last year, which I'm referring to, but all of a sudden we're realizing, oh man, like we made some bad hires and then those hires made some bad hires. And all of a sudden, we've got three key people on the bus that are not the right people on the bus. And we got to get them off the bus. And the bus is shaky. And all of a sudden, you know, when I realize this, I will act quickly. Like, we got to clean house. And we did a house cleaning last summer. And it was the best thing we could have ever done. But that left us, you know, short staffed. It left us with a lot of issues, a lot of mess to clean up. And, you know, it's like those days when you wake up and you just don't want to have to face it, but you have to face it. And then you go home at the end of the day. It's a long day. You know what? I've got to go face this tomorrow. And wasn't seeing the family a lot. My wife had to jump back in the business. It was a not pleasant. It's not pleasant when Timmy's on your back trying to choke you. But were you going to just throw your hands up and let him choke you? You're just going to throw your hands up and give up in business after 20 years? You can't. Right. So we regrouped. You know, we get to the end of the year. We look back. We're like, that was a really crappy year. That was a bad year. What are we going to do moving forward? And then we started tightening up the systems and just kind of going back to square zero. It was nice. When there's chaos in the business or something blows up, or maybe you get to a point where you lose everything or you lose a bunch of your team members, you kind of get to start over and recreate the business. So that's what we got to do this year. And I think we're in the strongest and healthiest place that we've ever been, but that wouldn't have happened without that chaos. And you just have to lean into it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and you said a phrase just a second ago, we got to do it. We were able to do it. We had the privilege to do it.
Yes.
As opposed to, oh, come on.
Yes.
20 years. I certainly deserve better. Oh, I have to do this. Mm-hmm. Right. Not that mindset.
No. And you have to be careful with that because those little, you know, the little voices and just the little way you phrase something, I have to get up and deal with this guy's pissed off customer today because we made a bad hire. Right. And you blame and you make excuses and deny all this. It's like, no, like I get to go face a challenge, face an issue. And make it right and build a deeper relationship with that customer. I wrote a book called Painted Baby, and it's all about leaning into and actually sharing in story format some of your company or your personal biggest mistakes and mishaps with your client base, because that's actually how you connect with clients and build trust.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the funny thing, isn't it? Like a lot of folks think, if they own a business, they have to emulate Coca-Cola, American Airlines, right? And not to say those companies are bad, but they're not your company. And until you've got the pedigree, that, like, don't measure yourself. Coca-Cola is what, 130-plus-year-old company?
Yeah.
Right? Don't go measure yourself to a company that's got a 130-year head start ahead of you.
Yeah.
Plus all the private money in the world while they're a public company. So all of that money in the world behind them, connect to your customers and tell that story. You know, my personal book, Space for Leadership, over that shoulder, I have that on the counter in my store, and it's a deeply personal book, deeply personal, but man, has it connected with people. And, you know, it's powerful when you do that because you show you're able to meet somebody where they are.
Yes.
And maybe they just need to have that be part of their journey with you in this purchase and this service and whatever it is. So I love that we've gone down this road with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And just out of curiosity, the lineage of your school, which way does that go?
Yeah, so we trained under Hoist Gracie for 10 years, 10, 11 years. And then I actually blew my back out and I had to get a disc surgery, not a replacement, but a discectomy. So I was brown belt. I received my brown belt and then kind of blew things out right at that point. And then I had about a year off. And then we actually ended up starting our school and we connected with Hegan Machado. So we're currently under Hegan. I received my black belt from him in 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I brought that up specifically around the transparency conversation. You know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is a sport that prides itself on being able to go back in lineage, because there's other martial arts, as you know, Matt, and maybe our listeners don't, watchers don't, you know, in some of the other martial arts, there's a lot of, how do I say this diplomatically?
You just say it, because I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, look, I didn't train under them. I'm not going to offend anybody. There's a lot of fakery and a lot of nonsense that goes on.
Bullshito, and, right? So there's a whole page called Bullshito.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you have an accent and you're, you know, if you're of a certain skin tone, you can string together a bunch of funny sounding words and call it your own thing. And, you know, connect all these dots that really don't exist. The beauty of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is, so you trained under Hoist. The first school I went to was a Hoyler, his brother, Hoyler Gracie, David Adiv school on the East Coast here. And it's evolved into, Jared Weiner, Alliance.
Okay.
It's under that, my friend that owns the school, it's under that banner now. And that's the thing, like, the true practitioners can trace that lineage back to Brazil, back to the founders. I said my whole game was a pressure game, a get out deep game. And I learned that from, I want to say Dave Myers. And I think the last name is Myers because he was one of the first, like, they called it the Dirty Dozen Americans to get their black belts from the Brazilians in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And so I believe it was Dave Myers, tall, skinny guy. And man, he turned my world upside down and like turned on a bunch of light switches with that pressure game that he had. And I just share that because the transparency matters. It's powerful. It's what an entire industry of BJJ is built on. So why can't it be your business? Right?
Yeah. The cool thing about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu BJJ is it doesn't lie. Like if you're a white belt, right? That's the beginning belt. There's five belts. It's white, blue, purple, brown, black. If you're a white belt and you just started training, you go throw on a purple belt and Jeff, he comes and grabs a hold of you. You're going to know pretty quick that guy's not a white belt. Like the mats don't lie. And we live in this society, right? So you go on social media, everything is, you know, painting the picture of perfection or look, I did seven simple steps to go from broken on my cousin's couch to millionaire. Now I've got my Ferrari, right? Like 99% of that is complete garbage and BS. And what's so cool about this Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu journey and analogy is getting to black belt. I think a lot of people, they step on the mats and go, oh my gosh, that guy's a black belt. When I get there, I'm going to be there. I'm going to all of a sudden know everything. When I receive my black belt, I realized that I'm just getting started and you kind of already start over. And it's really weird, right? Maybe as a purple belt or a newcomer stating this, but it's the same with business, right? Like don't be fooled by these people that are posting a lot of this garbage on social media because it ain't true and it's easy to fake it. You know, you're going to go through struggle and adversity. And if you ever think you've gotten to a point in business where you're there, be really careful about that because there's a whole nother mountain to climb and you just take licks. You just take licks along the way. Like I'm getting ready to go in for a C5, C6 neck fusion next week, just from fighting and training. And, I haven't been able to train for the past year because of that. And that's really sucked. I'm just focusing on teaching. I teach little kids. You guys have popped some of the photos up. You know, we just had a bunch of kids compete. My daughter and I get to come on the mats and help kiddos train every day, you know?
Yeah.
Give them the tools that I didn't have as a kid. I got severely bullied growing up. That was a big part of my story. And I didn't have the tools to know how to stand on my own two feet and have a voice and stand up for myself. So
I love it. I want to get to the teaching kids and youth conversation. To your point of the journey and the levels in the journey, you know this in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, no doubt your students have come up against this. They train in white belt. They're getting mopped up on the mat. They're getting beat up, bloody, bruised, battered, and it's all legal and they're paying you for it, right? Like if you watch Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu happen as an outsider, you would say to yourself, why does anybody do this? Unless you got that love for the sport.
Yeah.
And so you graduate the blue belt and then blue belt's that longest journey. Right. To the
blues.
Typically that longest journey. And then purple belt happens and then brown and black. And as you said, there's level, like even you got to the mountaintop, the black belt.
Yeah.
There are no other belts. So a guy that's been a 20-year black belt, going back to that Coke analogy, don't measure yourself against the 130-year-old company.
Nope.
Just because you're a black belt now doesn't mean you necessarily walk with the same black belt. Right.
You know, it's interesting. We had a gal, she trained with us. She came in right as a new blue belt and basically trained with us until she got her purple belt. And she advanced like crazy. She gets her purple belt. She rolls into another school's open mat and another purple belt kicks the crap out of her. Like, I don't know why. I wasn't there. Who knows? Could have been a million reasons. That person was just better that day in that engagement. So she comes into here and like quits our academy. She's like, I'm just quitting. And I go, hold on a minute. You're comparing yourself to some random person that you've never rolled with, never trained with. They got the best of you. Like, think back to 4 or 5 years ago when you came in here. If you would have faced that person from last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you would have murdered that person. And that's the only comparison you want to make, you know? Like, it's great to come on the mats, and you've done this, right? You go put it on somebody. You can do whatever you want. You're toying with them. Makes you feel great. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily work on your skill set as much, right? Then you come in the other way, and you just get murdered by somebody. You're on the receiving end of that. That sucks. I love that right in between, right? Where it's just this constant push. But everything teaches you something, but you cannot compare it to anybody else. Like, right now, I'd get tapped by blue belts right now. Like, my neck's broken. I can't feel my arm. I've got a torn meniscus and back surgery. So whatever. Yep. But that's my journey, you know, and I'm on it.
Yeah, you got to stay sharp. And you can't, like, thinking, like your comment about, I got my black belt and then I felt I was in a whole new world. Yeah. Not to say you were complacent, but it's, if you take that same application and ownership of a business and a life and say, I've been doing this thing now for 10 years, I deserve success. That's where complacency gets invited in. Yep. I really hate using the word deserve because it's entitlement language to me.
Mm-hmm. Totally. You can't ever get there. No, nobody owes you anything. You don't deserve anything. Get to work.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like, exactly. Like when people post like, hey, got a new house, got a new car, I worked really hard to go buy this, something I've always wanted. I never say deserved. I say earned. Well earned.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Well earned, because you went and did it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the kids. What's the thing you love the most about training kids today?
So I've loved working with kids ever since I can remember. So in high school, I finished all my coursework by junior year. So senior year, they're like, you got to take some classes, some electives. And I think I followed a cute cheerleader that told me she was doing elementary tutoring. Like, this is legit. So I'm I'll do elementary tutoring. If she's there, give me whatever shift she's on. But I get out there and I just start working with kids and love kids, and I'm fluent in Spanish. So I start translating parent teacher conferences. And I said, man, I want to be a teacher. So my track in college started, I have a Spanish degree and a child development family studies degree. And I wanted to become a teacher. And I actually had the opportunity to teach after school Spanish at the school district level. I'd come into a couple elementary schools. And, you know, I'm sitting there and I love the kids, but I didn't love the politics. I didn't love a lot of, I don't do politics and, you know, jockeying for position. And, you know, just saw some things. I'm like, man, I couldn't be a teacher. I have so much respect for people that just love kids. They want to educate them, but they've got to deal with all the other crap that's in there. So I turned that in and I said, you know, I'm going to find a way to help work with kids still. So I start training, right as my son's born in 2007, about 2011, you know, he's 4 years old. And I was like, you got to learn martial arts. You're going to learn jujitsu. So when he started training, I then start teaching. So I get to journey with him, father and son, and then father and daughter. But then, you know, as I get a chance to have a duty, right, a responsibility to teach other kids, to see a kid come in who's not confident, they're getting bullied, they're getting picked on. And I tell all the parents, give them 3 months, 2 to 3 days a week, they'll be a different kid. And we will, I mean, like right here, this little guy in the green gi, I don't know if somebody's got a little arrow, but there's Hegan right between Troy and I. So below Hegan Machado in the little green gi, that's Jax. Nice. He's 5 years old. He's like 28 pounds when he comes in, totally getting bullied, you know, getting picked on. He went out to a tournament and he lost his first 3 matches. He won his last one, but like nobody could choke him. These kids are trying to choke him. And I'm like, just smile. And he's having fun. But so many stories of kiddos that have come in and they're just a different kid. And you get to see that transformation happen. You know, we've got a girl, she came in, her mom posted on Facebook. She was so pissed off because a boy hit his daughter in the face. This is like at the middle school level, and she's real tiny. And I reached out to her and I was like, hey, bring her in. And we sponsored, you know, we sponsored her for a year. And she's out just dropping kids right now. And just such a different person, the confidence. And again, like I didn't have that growing up. I was scared of the world, man, all the way through middle and high school.
Yeah. So how long have you been having a focus on kids classes? When did that start exactly for your school?
So I started teaching when my son was 4. He's now 16. So, you know, a little over a decade. We founded Northern Colorado Jiu-Jitsu and Self-Defense. That's our school. We founded that in 2019. So I've been leading the kids program here for 5 years.
So what's been the genesis of, you know, because I think success in society involves teachers of any persuasion, right? Of any practice, any educational model, teachers. It involves the student and it involves the direct mentor parent.
Yeah.
And you know, education is something I pay attention to. I sit on our Education Foundation board for Skills and Career Center locally. I was at our school board meeting last night. These are things that I pay attention to because I believe that it's so important to secure future for our children, my children. I'm very self-interested in my children, as we all should be, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's been the genesis of parents that you've seen in that dozen or so years? Like, did you see parents just like throw the kid in, like, go do this? And like, what are you seeing that frustrates you? What are you seeing that's positive?
Yeah.
And how can people really help their kid build confidence through this sport or any sport, matter of fact?
Man, I see a lot, and I'll start with the positive, right? Because I think there's always a positive and maybe a negative, but I love when parents come in and they first recognize and realize like, hey, my kid is getting bullied and we got to do something about it. I'm actually writing a children's book right now. It's called JJ Learns Jiu-Jitsu. It's about a bullied boy who discovers his inner voice and strength. And it's a little bit of my story, maybe, you know, with a boy. And, you know, mom says, I'll just ignore them. You know, words don't hurt. Words hurt. And then words turn into other things. And what I love to see, and the opposite, right, is the frustrating side is like when a parent owns that, they say, my kid's getting his ass kicked at school. And I need you to help me with that. And I want to work alongside you with that. And then I say, great, give them 3 months. But you've got to stay off the mats. Like you've got to stay not in a authoritarian way, like stay out, like let me do my thing with these kids. And they let me do that. And then I give them some recommendations and hey, next time this happens, stand your ground. Next time this happens psychologically, verbally, and then physically stand your ground. And then when they come back and they say, hey, you know, this kid tried to do whatever he was doing and it didn't work that time. So it's cool when you get to partner with parents and they recognize and understand my ability and my passion and my heart for it. Now the frustrating side is when, and this is like, Johnny's going to quit. Like he just signed up for a 6-month membership. He did 3 classes and Johnny had a bad day and he got pushed around a little bit. So we're going to quit jiu-jitsu. And we went to the other school, you know, the Taekwondo school said he'd get a black belt in 3 years and we signed up for their black belt club. I'm like, that's the dumbest thing. You all due respect to Taekwondo and every other martial art. That's the dumbest thing you could do for your kid right now. You just showed your kid, and I get pissed. I'm pissed now, right? Talking about this. You just showed your kid that you fall down and get a boo-boo and you're going to quit what made you fall down and get a boo-boo and go do something where easier results are promised to you. And then you're going to maybe get your black belt like that. Dude, your kid's going to get mauled by the bully and probably mauled in life because that's not how life works. So that's really frustrating for me when parents, their kid has a little bit of adversity. And how does a 6-year-old kid talk you, the grown parent who's paying for this, into telling you what they're going to do?
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going crazy right now, Jeff. I need a minute.
It dawns on me just with what you said right there. How does the 6-year-old kid convince the parent, which is actually sell the parent? You know, I'm a big sales guy. I've made my livelihood. You've made your livelihood selling things. I think when done right, it's the most honorable profession you can be in because you show somebody the value you have for their hard-earned money that they have to give you. And so, well, I'm gravely concerned of the society some are allowing to be crafted, as in the fall down, go get the black belt because it's easy example. I guess the silver lining in that example is we're going to have a whole good crop of salespeople down the road, you know, because 6-year-olds that can sell their parents out of things. I mean, I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but they got a foundation of selling.
Yeah, they're going to have a foundation of selling, but they're super soft. Like you can, you know, I see, and I want to be respectful, right? Because every parent has their journey and whatever they grew up with. And unless they realize it, decide to change it, then they don't realize it and they can't change it. But just so many soft kids and parents. Like I was born in New Jersey. I got beat up by the same girl on the playground in Montclair, New Jersey till I was 10 years old and moved to Colorado. And then it still happened. And I think there's value in that. So we took a group of kids to the tournament and they all lost a lot more matches than they won. And I was happy about it. Right. Like the little guy that I showed you, right? He lost his first 3 matches and you would think, oh, well, are we not teaching him good enough jujitsu? I'm like, he's still 30 pounds and he's in the 45 pound weight class. All I wanted him to do was have fun and smile during the match. And you should have seen the most adorable smile and he didn't get choked. And then he just kept coming back out and he was shaking everybody's hand before he's playing with him. And then he comes out in his last match, he was like 10, 12 points up to 0. And then chokes the girl, you know, like that's successful. Yeah. But you look at some of these other schools, you know, the flip side, this is another thing that frustrates me are these, I don't know how to politically correctly, just these meathead parents, right? Like maybe they go lift some weights and they've never been in a fight or any kind of physical engagement in their life. And they're sitting on the side of the mats telling me how to teach and telling their kid to toughen up. Yeah. I'm like, dude, you wouldn't last like 30 seconds with my son if he grappled with you, really.
Right.
And
right.
So like, just stop, like stop with all that nonsense, the real overbearing. Like you gotta give jujitsu's about being kind and caring and gentle, but also strong and sturdy and steady. So yeah, I got a lot to say. We could do hours of a podcast, man, about that, but it's such a great thing. Such a great thing for kids. If you're getting bullied and your kid's getting bullied, you got to do something about it. You can't protect them forever and they got to stand up for themselves at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can say, get a child into like a team sport and that can be very good. I'm a big fan of that. Well, both of my sons play team sports. My youngest boy's on this football path and we feel we're going to go pretty far.
Awesome.
But you know, we're in a season right now where it's tough and it's tough because he's emerging and some around him aren't. And so those voices that aren't are getting a little louder, getting a little more chatty, right, in the ear. And the thing about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is, yeah, you can have the sideline chat, but at some point, you got to get on the mat, knuckle up, and start your match.
Yeah.
And all the talking stops.
Yeah.
Because you got a choice. You can talk or you can grapple.
Yeah. Well, and you bring this photo up and I just want to share is, we actually hosted a seminar for Northern Colorado Down Syndrome Association. So, this is a group of our instructors alongside, some teens and young adults with Down syndrome. And, you know, they get told, right, as a community, you know, you can't do this, right? You're different. Mm-hmm. So you can't, here's everything you can't do or shouldn't do. No, these kids all came out and were hitting single legs and double legs and leg sweeps and cross chokes and, you know, after 2 hours, and you know, this gentleman in the black gi, he's an above the knee amputee.
I see that.
Yeah. Rustin Hughes. So, incredible. You know, he came out and he said, hey, jujitsu's a sport. He's a Paralympic jujitsu champion. He just competed in the Middle East. And he's like, you guys can take this as far as you want. So it's just it's a cool journey. It meets you where you're at.
Yeah.
And then it's your journey.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want people to hear this, you know, Matt, you've said it. I'll say it now. We've maybe poked fun at some people and some things, and I hope you can feel the passion. I hope you can feel the heart coming through. Everybody is on their journey. Everybody's got different things going on, but there is one thing that equalizes all. And I'm reminded of Teddy Roosevelt's the man in the ring, little speech paragraph that you see sometimes out there, social media. Mm-hmm. Maybe people have it framed. What you're doing for those kids, getting them on the mat. What you're doing for those kids with Down syndrome. Getting them outside of the can't do is incredible. I've got two people in my circle that have sons with Down syndrome, Ari and Brian, and they are so committed to leading those two young men that, you know, listen, you can see they have Down syndrome, but you can also see they excel in spite of it.
Yes. Yeah.
And so we don't have to be a product of circumstance. We can have circumstances, but we can push through it. Anything to expand on that you've experienced in life?
No, I mean, I'm on my jujitsu soapbox. I just think it's a beautiful thing. Yeah. It looks a little strange from the outside, but, you know, I don't care if you're a 30-year-old, 5-year-old, 30-pound kid getting bullied up to, you know, a 65-year-old woman with two knee replacements, right? Like,
yeah.
We gave a gal her blue belt who earned that, right?
Wow.
And just come give it a try. You know, it's super fun. And even if not, even if you just want to listen to two jujitsu guys chattering, just the analogy, right? Marriage, business, parenthood, leadership. It's all a journey where you start with the first step. You get severely humbled at the beginning, and then you learn little by little, and you just need to take little tap out breaks, right? And just stop. Hey, I got owned right here. This got the best of me, and I need to regroup. But you're in this community of people, right? It's so important, Jeff, to have a community of people that support you and encourage you along the way, right? So if you're a business owner, a couple other business owners, even if it's just a few, and guess what? The other 9,000 people that don't own businesses are going to be talking so loud, giving you all the advice and the input. They don't own a business. Be quiet. Like, cool. Mm-hmm. Talk all you want, but connect with people that have been there and done that. Again, if you know, I'm a faith-based Jesus follower, right? Get in a circle of men and people that can encourage you in that journey. And you're gonna mess up and miss the mark a lot more on that journey until you start getting it right. So wherever you're at in life, leadership, business right now, if you're listening to this and you're like, man, I keep getting choked out. I keep dropping the ball. This isn't working. Keep going forward. Find some resources, find some people, and it all comes around.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're struggling to find those people, I think it goes back to what you shared earlier about being vulnerable and being transparent with who you are, where you're at, what's going on. You'll find you can connect and gravitate to those people that you need the most in your life, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the unfortunate thing, and again, I think there's a positive in every negative, but as you kind of start to grow and advance in your business journey, this has been my reality, is you have people that are cheering you on at the beginning. Yeah, go start that business. Go, you'll do great. And then you start doing great, but they're like, I don't do too great because it's maybe making me look bad or feel bad about myself. And then all of a sudden, you know, people you thought were your friends are attacking you. And it's, you know, that's just the nature of what I've experienced. And, you know, business and money and success will change that. But, you know, know who those people are that you could go to it. 2:30 in the morning when your world is falling apart, but you know, like, I can call that guy, that gal, he or she's not going to judge me. They're just going to be there, love on me, share experience and give me support. And just having literally like one of those people is a game changer.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I love that about, you know, again, it goes back to the jujitsu analogy. There's different levels. There's different parts of each journey within the journey, the journey of white belt, blue belt, purple belt, et cetera. Journey of different stages of entrepreneurship. You got all of those promoters and people applauding you to start. And then it's like, oh, they actually went and did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the negativity comes out. It isn't a judgment on you. It's an admission of self.
Yeah.
It's an admission of, oh, I can't do that. So I'll have to project myself onto the situation. You know, I tell my son right now, look, anybody that's in your ear, just ask yourself this one question. Would you change positions with them?
Right.
Would you step into their shoes right now? For the opinions of the coaches on them, the skills that they have, the grades that they have, you know, would you change lives with that person? If the answers are no, then don't even pay attention.
Yeah,
it sucks, but that's the litmus test, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I find in business too, because when you start to get like the heat, the haters, the judgment, whatever that is, I always remember too, because I got bullied. I had something to prove. I was very short tempered and very aggressive in my earlier years, but like, man, I would just pop back and snap back and pop off to people is like, hey, everything's going through something. Like the way somebody else shows up to you and presents themselves, and it's not pretty. It's really just a reflection of where they're at. So again, and I still, you know, I'm 42, I still got to bite my tongue in certain situations, but just respond in kindness, you know, because, you know, you don't know how your response, like when somebody pops off to you or they make a quick judgment, what you want to do is react. I talk about this in Painted Baby. That reaction is the knee jerk. Well, he said F you, so I'm going to say F you back bigger and 10 times stronger versus like, take a minute, respond, consider the source, consider what they're going through, and just show them some kindness, because that could be kindness that maybe they haven't seen in a while and could change the trajectory of, you know, whatever they're going through in life. Everybody's got something, like me and you. We both got something sitting here on this podcast, and, you know, giving people some grace and some space while also setting some boundaries, you know, like, not okay to talk to me like this, but I hope you have a better day, you know?
Right. Yeah. No, love it. Love it. So what is it about book authorship that you like? I'm a big fan of, I wrote my book and I have other books that I use in business. What is it about book authorship for you that you wrote Painted Baby?
Yeah.
Tell us about that book and why you chose to do it.
I think everybody has a book. I think it's so important in business and life to engage with and understand story and the power of story and how your story, you know, your business's origin story, or maybe your adversity story that you've gone through in life, how that can really impact somebody else. You know, my first book that I wrote, I thought this is like the number one myth, right? Is if I write it, people will buy it. So I do this quick print on demand. It's become an award-winning company. It's a great book. It's 7 steps on how to win business awards and then get tons of free business exposure. But I'm like, wait, so I write it, people don't just go buy it. Oh,
yeah. I gotta market this. Not Field of Dreams, right?
Yeah. So when I came back to do Painted Baby, you know, I engaged with a hybrid publishing company. And I mean, we went through the process of how do you write a great book, and just, you know, the stories in it. This book is 10 times better than my first book. And I had so much fun. That's my daughter on the cover. And, you know, the premise of it is that in business, life, leadership, we paint pictures of perfection. Here's the 5-star A+ shiny marketing brochure. Look at me. I'm an A+ Better Business Bureau. Look at my Google reviews. We're amazing. Yay. Look at my resume, right? Award-winning guy. No, our painting company actually had a paint sprayer blow up on a job site and paint a baby. Like, we almost killed a customer's baby in 2008.
Wow.
And I'm sitting in a sales presentation and I just showed my shiny brochure and I'm closing the guy, right? The Benjamin Franklin close, the either or close, the scarcity close. And he's just pushing it back. And he goes, Matt, tell me about a time that you weren't so damn perfect and what you did about it. Cause I'm kind of sick of this shiny marketing brochure. He throws it across his desk. Like, we painted a baby. You want to hear about that? And he goes, what? You did what? So you like hook him with this drama. And he said, well, what did you do? So I won't give too much away. But that moment of vulnerability and sharing a fault, a 1-star, just opened up. He's like, wait, Matt's human too. You know, some of these business owners that are out there, it's like, is this person even human? Do they have any faults? And when you can connect with somebody at that deeper level, it shows you're human too. It allows and engages them to be able to connect in the same way. And just think about it next time you're in a conversation, right? Oh, life's good. Business is good. No, man, like, I'm struggling with this. Can I share this with you? I really screwed up here. And it's almost this sigh of relief because, you know, that other person knows they're going through it too. So yeah, Painted Baby is just it's a bunch of stories of mine and other entrepreneurs on how you can capture, craft, and communicate a very engaging and empowering story. Just being truly you, being vulnerable and real. And not being so dang perfect all the time. And then how that will transform not just business, but all your relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I mean, I just love that vulnerability. Yeah. You know, I say, so I have a retail business that I co-own, one of the things that I do, and it's a retail mattress store. And like one of the most, like, kind of like an obscure thing, yet it's a commodity and everybody uses it, but we make it very, very special.
Cool.
And we do pride ourselves on our reputation, and we tell people, look, read our reviews, but it's not just the Google reviews. We get these handwritten feedback forms. And I think it's very special in this day and age to get those. And most weeks we get more of those than we do the online reviews.
Awesome. Love that.
And I think that's cool. And we get to say, look, you can see our reviews, you can see our awards, but I want my customers to tell that story. So just flip through this PDF or flip through the actual copies. They're right here. And then you make a decision if we feel we're a fit. But those 1-star reviews that you've seen and those negative handwritten ones, we keep them in a special book.
Yeah.
I say, look, they're all well-earned. We made mistakes.
Yeah. And like, let me, and then I'd encourage you, right? And anybody listening, find that one that was the worst, like a paint a baby's bat. That's not a good day at the office or a residential paint company. Find that. Like, I sold a mattress and we found out it was used and should have been new. And then they got bed bugs and lice all in their hair. And like, that's what happened. And the people, they're like, they want to know. Yeah. Like, you're this perceived hero that all of a sudden is in this adversity. They want to see what you do. And hey, here's what we did. Here's how we made it right. And it puts the customer in a position to where, okay, this could happen to me, but here's how Jeff's going to stand behind it. And when you do that, that shows what you're really made of. Like, if I say I'm going to be honest and do the right thing, but I don't have an engagement with you where that's ever put on the line, I don't really show you that I have those things. So like your one-star review, go get one of those. Those are the best things that can happen to your business, because the way you respond to them shows more about who you are. The 5-star show the great stuff, and you need those. But don't be so worried about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So you've got your painted baby example. You know, we've had our not quite the bed bug thing. I want to put that out there. We've never had bed bugs.
No bed bugs at Jeff's store.
Knock on wood. That's like the death knell for a retail mattress store. But yeah, I mean, we had some of those instances where, you know, a piece of furniture, they thought they bought one color, but we delivered another. And, you know, where did the mistake happen? It gets into hearsay at that point. Yeah. And so you can choose to dig in and side with your person that does this every day and doesn't really have a series of issues or mistakes, or you could do the right thing by the customer.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I counsel people that I work with and I coach, and I say, look, you know, that negative review, what would you pay to remove it? And often it starts like at $500.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, it was a $200 mistake to fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just pay the $200.
Yeah.
Right. Anybody that you've worked with where you've helped them get through that crushing moment, because they do crush. It sucks. It sucks to get those negative reviews. Other than yourself, anybody else that you've helped work through it?
I hang out with a lot of business owners. Like, I've been drinking Spanish coffee I'm all out, but we hang out, and I've got a guy I'm working with right now, and he got a negative review, and he just came in and was flustered and, God, I can't believe this. And how do I get rid of this? I'm like, dude, that's awesome. Great. First of all, read it, and then go click on that customer's Google profile. Look, they only write 1-star reviews. So that says something about them. But just respond to it. Is it true? Well, this is true, but that's not true. Okay. Well, hey, say, hi, I'm Mike and I saw your review. Thanks so much for writing it. You know, it's actually true. We did show up late. You know, here's what happened. But did you forget that we called you to tell you we were going to be late? Cause we had a flat tire and we fixed the tire. And then we actually came out, performed our service for you. I think it was junk hauling. And then we actually hauled some extra stuff. You forgot to write that, but either way, you know, if you're still not happy, we'll give you all your money back. Go ahead and give me a call direct on my cell. Mm-hmm. Wait to hear from you. So, you know, you look at those two responses. Anybody that's decently intelligent will look at all of the pieces of that puzzle and know what's going on. There was a limousine guy, and this dude was a hot wreck here in Northern Colorado. He's a hot wreck. I mean, a lot of negative reviews, and he would fire back with some of the, it was funny. I give his comedic value, I give that a high score. But some of it was pretty, there was no accountability. And it was entertaining. I don't think it helped his business, but how you respond says a lot about who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. You know, and again, to go back to kind of come full circle in our conversation, you know, really what we're talking about here with this reviews or opportunity to handle conflict resolution with an employee or a spouse, or your child is, it comes back to transparency. You know, one side gets to say their case and you get to say yours, and the future customer gets to make a decision. You know, your child, from this instance and this issue, you handle it, you hear both sides, you give your side, you get to come back to that issue for the future and reference it for the future. That transparency and that position of vulnerability to say, I made a mistake, really matters and counts for a lot. Really, really does.
Hey, I was just going to say, I lost you on my screen for about a minute there, so I didn't catch whatever you just said.
All right.
But the last thing I said was how you respond says a lot about says a lot about who you are and what you're made of. Yeah. And then that's right where I lost you. But
yeah. Well, I just added a few more sound bites to it. And so we're actually coming to the top of our hour, and it seems Absolutely. We're pressing the favor of the internet gods with technology. So we'll wrap it up. Matt, I've loved jamming out with you. You know, first and foremost, love all you're doing. Love how you're leading your community, especially those little jiu-jitsu practitioners and kids that you got on the mat. Yeah. I think that's fantastic. I love the faith aspect of your life. If people want to connect with you, we've had you up on the screen. We've got you in the show notes. But if people are listening to this on audio, where do they go? And maybe you lost me there again. I'll do it for Matt. So Matt's a great guy. We've got all of his information here up on the screen. MattShelp.com. That's MattShoup. MattShelp.com. You can go there. He's got a number of books. Painted Baby, his other book about helping you grow your business through reviews and handling good reviews and getting a lot of great press for rewards for your business. He's got a podcast. MattShelp.com is the place to go. Matt, can you hear me?
Yeah, no, thanks. You cut out for a minute, but yeah, appreciate the plug. And man, it's been so cool to be here. And I feel like we've totally got a round two. We gotta come back and hit on more things. I think we're just scratching the surface today.
I think so.
And really enjoyed our time. And thank you for all you're doing, man. You're 120 episodes deep into a podcast, which is a lot. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. So thank you. Well, thank you for seeing it. Respect all you're doing, man. Keep living life out there in Colorado. Good luck on the surgery that's coming.
Thank you.
Many blessings to you. Prayers of healing.
Thank you.
Everybody else, I really hope you have a great week. I want you to go out there, live as an example of courage. We talked about it here. People need grace. They need empathy, understanding. You can be that person. Go lead with courage this week. We'll see you next week on the Big Ticket Life. Take care. You just heard another impactful show on the Big Ticket Life, challenging leaders to lead with courage and work to solve the clash that exists between those they lead and the lives they live. Now is the time to focus on leveling up the humans you lead and the impact you can create in their lives. It's time to lead with courage and be a living example of courage. I'd love for you to go to thejeffg.com/mission. That's thejeffg.com/mission right now, and book a call with me to discuss how to integrate these examples of courage into your leadership, how to approach your team with vulnerability, and most importantly, so we can plan out how you'll invest and level up the humans you lead for maximum healing and impact so you can be the leader your people need every day. Visit thejeffg.com/mission. That's thejeffg.com/mission right now, and book a call with me today.